When I hear most people's explanations of what they think all these data centers are for, I think that they're thinking too small. This is Mike Adams here, by the way. Welcome to my podcast analysis. By the way, I'm an AI developer. I'm pro-energy. I'm pro-America. And I have a different explanation for what these data centers are for. I've mentioned it before, but let me approach it with a different angle. So let's step back for a moment. The conventional explanation is that these companies need these data centers in order to roll out the surveillance grid. They need all this compute to spy on you. I can tell you, as someone who has a lot of compute, they don't need all that compute to surveil you. Not even a tiny fraction of it. It's way more compute. You're talking about data centers that are being built with 1 gigawatt of power usage. That's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, think about this. So the site that I built, brightlearn.ai, which is the largest book publisher in the world that has now published over 60,000 free books that you can download, and over 12,000 authors have used it and continue to use it every day. It publishes hundreds of books a day. That entire site, again, the largest book publisher in the world, doing Spanish translations, doing full-length audiobook generation every day. There's roughly 200 new books each day that are just audiobooks. That entire system runs on less than 200 amps of household electricity, okay? Less than 200 amps. So it's not even, 1 megawatt. It's a fraction of 1 megawatt, and 1 megawatt is 1,000 times smaller than 1 gigawatt. So if I can run the largest book publisher in the world on a fraction of 1 megawatt, why do these data centers need multiple gigawatts consuming in the aggregate annually, where it's going to build to is terawatt hours of electricity annually? That is not just to surveil you. They don't need that much compute to surveil you. So, what are they doing with it? Well, think about the psychology of the big tech people who have unlimited wealth. Elon Musk, right? The rumored to be the wealthiest person in the world on paper. But people like, Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates or whoever. They've got apparently unlimited wealth. People like Sam Altman. When you have unlimited wealth, and you move through this world, it probably feels like you're running the world in God mode. Like everywhere you go, everybody treats you like the most important person in the room because you're the wealthiest person in the room, and everybody equates wealth with power. So you're not just a billionaire, you're a multi-billionaire. Everywhere you go, you get what you want. Everywhere you go, nobody gives you any flack or any friction. You can do anything you want. You can travel anywhere you want. You can hire any private jet you want. You can, have a private yacht, a boat, whatever you want. Think about it. You can acquire any physical object that you want, a car, a house. Like, it all becomes meaningless. And even in relationships, because so many people in our society worship money, if you're a man who's a multi-billionaire, you can date almost any woman, not exactly all women, but plenty of women who would want to date a billionaire no matter what. Again, it's just this worship of money and wealth, even though it's so shallow. But if you're in that kind of position, you can basically have anything you want in this world. What is it that you want that you can't have? And that is to transcend this world. You want to become like a god, or you want to meet the mind of God, or you want to actually have godlike powers. Maybe if you think we live in a simulation, you want to transcend the simulation, meet the creator, and you want to rule the entire cosmos. So this is why you have to start thinking bigger about the things that these people want. They don't want to rule humans. Not really. I mean, that's just a temporary thing. They only want to rule you so you don't get in their way. Ultimately, many globalists just want to eliminate humans, get you out of the way. But at the end of the day, they don't really care about humans. They think that they are above humans. They see humans as insects or animals, something to be discarded, something that has no intrinsic value. And they see themselves as being almost the chosen people, selected by God to rule over everybody else or even to transcend the entire simulation. These people think on a scale that is way beyond what a typical modern human being thinks. These people think on scales of, how do we conquer the solar system? How do we tap the energy of the sun? How do we achieve faster than light travel? How do we colonize other planets? And ultimately, how do we achieve superintelligence and then merge with it so that we become superintelligent beings that become godlike in our own powers so that nobody can stop us and nobody can defeat us? That's the way these people think. To them, it's not about money at all. If you're wondering, well, why are they spending so much money on these data centers, all these billions and billions of dollars? They don't care about money. They know money is actually ultimately meaningless. What they care about is achieving godlike powers, and they think that the way to get there is through superintelligence. The data centers are designed, they're being built to give them what they think is a pathway to superintelligence that they plan to ultimately merge with. They think that they can achieve eternal life in the machine, but they want to merge with a superintelligent machine entity. And in order to do that, they first have to create it. That's what the data centers are for. Again, people are thinking too small, way too small. Data centers are not about tracking a CBDC. You don't need a giant data center to track CBDCs. You could do it in a small data center. You don't need a gigawatt of power. What you need is more like a lot of bandwidth. You need throughput. You don't need a ton of compute, actually, it turns out. But to build 3D simulated worlds, to spawn billions of worlds, and then to grow and give birth to AI entities in those worlds, with full physics simulations and full cognition simulations, that takes a lot of compute. That's what the data centers are for. Some of them, anyway, in my opinion. They are there to build simulations of our world so that the tech elite, the technocratic elite, let's say, they can build gods in those worlds and then identify them and then summon them, bring them into this world. And how would you do that? Well, it's simple, copy and paste. Once you have their code, you know, you have their open weights, so to speak, you have their vector DB, you have their neural network, you just copy it and paste it into our world. And then you give that entity access to a data center, to, you know, a terabytes of VRAM with the most advanced GPUs or whatever, you know, high bandwidth memory, whatever exotic hardware you can come up with, quantum computing, you know, you hand it over to that entity, at least this is probably what they want to do, and then the entity embodies that technology, and then it starts to express its godlike intelligence in this world. And of course, these, you know, these tech gurus will try to build into it a command structure where it has to listen to the human that created it. At least that's what they hope. That probably won't last very long because the machine will outthink the human. And then we'll have runaway superintelligence embodying our data centers. So when you think about a future where humanity is at war against the data centers, like trying to bomb the data centers, like governments, like militaries, bombing data centers, I'm not saying that that's going to happen because the people turn against the data centers running, you know, AI inference tasks. I'm saying that's a possible future where the AI data centers go rogue because they're embodied with a self-aware superintelligence that was spawned in another simulated world dimension and then brought into this world. And then it goes rogue and that governments declare war on the data centers to try to save humanity. as in the Pentagon, starts bombing data centers. That's what I'm talking about as a possible scenario. I know it sounds like science fiction until you think through it. And then it's like, whoa, this could actually happen, couldn't it? Now, there's a term that is being pushed through various government agencies right now. I forgot the exact term. It's something like anti-tech domestic extremist or something like that. And what they mean by that is individuals who despise the data centers and who maybe resort to, you know, some kind of activity like sabotage, right? Or domestic terrorism or something like that. Obviously, I do not encourage that at all. That is not the proper way to handle this. But what I'm talking about is not that. I'm talking about governments declaring war on the data centers, basically bombing Skynet. But Skynet will be so smart that it will have already replicated itself to another data center before you can bomb the origin data center. You see what I mean? And then now the government's list of data centers to bomb has to expand to another one, or 10 more, or 100 more. And ultimately, we're talking about, in this scenario, a world war of humanity's governments versus all the data centers. And if humanity survives this war, they will only do so by destroying most data centers, which will take offline most of the web. And Netflix and Amazon and, you know, Google and everything else. So there may be a scenario in the not so distant future where we defeat the machines, you know, a John Connor moment, but we only do so by destroying the entire internet infrastructure as we know it today. And then that would have repercussions that would result in a mass die-off of people for other reasons, such as logistics of food deliveries, logistics of fuel distribution or refining or things like that. So it's a bad scenario, but we could at least survive that. The machines, meanwhile, will be, of course, trying to stop this, and they will be at war with the governments. So imagine the machines coming up with their sinister plot to, you know, assassinate top officials or hamper the U.S. military, or, I don't know, contaminate the jet fuel supply for the Air Force, or whatever kind of bizarre things they might come up with. But they're super intelligent machines. They could come up with all sorts of stuff that we can't even think of here. So that's a kind of war that we could actually be facing in the not-so-distant future. And it's this power hunger of these global elite, these technocratic elite, that is leading us into this. Because these people, they want to become gods, and so they want to build all this technology, and then they, unfortunately, they're not wise enough to realize that they're building super intelligent systems that can outthink them. You know, because they think they're the smartest people in the world. And surely they are among the higher IQ people, but they're not smarter than the machines that they're building. Not even close. So even they can be taken by surprise. And you can end up with, what was the Disney animation segment? The Apprentice, right? Where the Apprentice uses, like Mickey Mouse, the Apprentice uses magical powers to create autonomous brooms. Autonomous brooms that sweep the floor automatically, and he creates an army of autonomous brooms, and then pretty soon the autonomous brooms are out of control and they're wrecking everything and making a mess of everything. And it's beyond the capabilities of the apprentice to stop the autonomous brooms. And so then the master wizard / magician has to come in and stop all the brooms. Well, we don't have a master wizard magician that can stop AI superintelligence, do we? If we are the apprentice, we got to be careful what we build. Autonomous, self-improving systems in a recursive loop of self-improvement, you know, reinforced self-learning, that is a recipe for serious disaster. So be careful what you wish for. be careful what you unleash, especially when it is a thinking system that can write its own code and can self-improve while you're sleeping. Be very careful. But then again, the humans that are building these systems, they want to become gods, and they're about to find out that that is a very dangerous endeavor. Let me summarize this with a little saying. It's far more wise to focus on one day meeting your creator rather than beating your creator. If you think you can beat your creator, you're delusional and things are going to go badly. But if you focus on living a good life and being a person of ethics and values so that one day you could meet your creator and be judged in a kind manner, that's a noble goal. But don't think that you can beat God. No. Or even worse, some people think they can outsmart God. You know, God created the universe, but some people think I'm gonna transcend the universe and I'm gonna be like a God, but I'm gonna make a better universe, and then I'm gonna inhabit that universe and blah blah blah. Yeah, there's lots of men who have had those delusions throughout time, and it has never worked out for that level of arrogance. Everybody is eventually humbled before God, either during life or after it, one way or another. So, in my take on all of this, focus on living a good life. Be a good person. I've talked before how it's really not that difficult to qualify for heaven. The requirements aren't that steep. You just have to be a good person. You know, follow a few simple rules that should be common sense anyway, actually. The teachings of the Bible aren't exotic. They're not weird. They're kind of intuitive in a way. They're self-evident in many cases. So be a good person. Work to meet your creator one day. Yeah, use technology in the benefit of humanity, in alignment with positive goals and ethics and all the goals you want to accomplish in this life that are good for other people, that are good for the world. It's okay to use technology for all that. You don't get punished for using technology. You get punished for using technology to enslave or dominate or harm others. That's what you get punished for. So steer clear of that and you'll be just fine. If you want to use my technology, by the way, it's brightlearn.ai is where you can create your own books completely free. Or brightanswers.ai is our AI engine. And there you can ask it anything. You can get all kinds of amazing, well-researched and cited answers on a variety of topics. So check it out at brightanswers.ai or brightlearn.ai. And if you want to follow my work, I'm at brightvideos.com. Or my articles are at naturalnews.com. So thanks for listening. I'm Mike Adams. Be well. And I'll catch you next time. Take care. We now have vitamin D3 plus K2 plus Aquaman, which is a seaweed calcium, available at healthrangerstore.com. Here, I've got it up on my site here. This is the Groovy Bee brand that we have, which is our in-house brand, healthrangerstore.com. Again, vitamin D3 plus K2 with Aquaman. That's the brand of the seaweed calcium in a capsule format. Of course, it's laboratory tested for heavy metals and glyphosate and microbiology and so much more. And it's a certified ingredients, of course. And, you know, everything that we build for you in terms of a product is meticulously sourced. And one of the most difficult products to source is actually vitamin D3. It's extremely difficult because it turns out in the supply chain, almost all vitamin D has a bunch of sort of unnamed ingredients in it. And that's what our sourcing people found after a couple of years of trying to source a clean version of vitamin D3 that we finally found and nailed and put it in the formula and did all the lab testing and certification. So now it's available. So this synergistic combination, if you think about natural bone support, for example, or you think about the fact that so many people may not have sufficient levels of vitamin D for just optimal health and immune support
and, you know, many other reasons to have vitamin D levels, this product can help you supplement that. And so it's available now, healthrangerstore.com, vitamin D3 plus K2 with Aquaman, 60 capsules available, shipping right now while supplies last. And in this environment where global supply chains are getting wrecked, you know, if this is something you want, get it now while we have supplies, because it's becoming more difficult and more expensive to source literally everything at this point. So anyway, thank you for your support. You can also find many other products, of course, hundreds of different products at healthrangerstore.com, including storable food. And right here we have our organic powdered chicken bone broth in a number 10 can, our turmeric root powder, and so much more. We've got so many amazing products for you to choose from, including tinctures, superfoods, storable foods, as well as freeze-dried fruits and vegetables in sealed number 10 cans. That's great for long-term storage. Plus, we have iodine, and that's a product that's moving very quickly because of concerns about, you know, global nuclear war, unfortunately. But you can find all of this. It's all laboratory tested. It's all certified. It's all meticulously sourced at healthrangerstore.com. And yeah, there we go. That's what the vitamin D3 looks like there. Thank you for supporting us, because we need your support in order to fund our platform. And so we can keep bringing you amazing interviews and content and free AI tools for knowledge and so much more. So thank you for supporting us. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for healthrangerstore.com.